fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, back here again with my Faith and Freedom show. I call it Preservative Talk Radio. Gun restrictions, what do you do? Is there, especially if you're a pastor, I challenge you, or somebody who goes to church, deacon and elder of your church, how do you, you know, venture to say those things that are very patriotic and very, you know, I'm an American, you know, we're Americans. God gave us America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Of course, I'm going to say a little quip here. It's not going to continue to be the land of the free unless it is the home of the brave. It is one of those cause and effect things. You reap what you sow sort of things. So what I'm going to say here is I'm going to kind of read this article that I got out of The New American. There are several articles out there about what's happening in New York. And just merely registration. What's wrong with registration? How could you justify civil disobedience? What is civil disobedience? Is it biblical? Of course, if it's not, then people need to be preaching, of course, against the American Revolution. But we're going to talk about this. I'm actually going to be reading a court case that talks about what our responsibility is when somebody in government, when a government agency actually violates the law, not the little civil law, not the regulation, but that which was talked about in the U.S. Constitution in Article 3, when it talked about the authority structure of law, it said that the Supreme Court is going to have jurisdiction in all cases under the law, equity, the laws of the United States, and treaties pursuant to this Constitution. There is a law, there is a equity that is a product of creation. And those positive acts of the legislature, those laws of mere indifference to the Creator, those things must be subject to the law that is. And if those positive acts violate the law that is, those little positive acts are not law. We have a duty to obey God. That means in some cases, we have to put ourselves at risk for the sake of our neighbor. Let me go to this article. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back. I'm actually going to be reading something from a case that had to do with me and something I was having to contemplate. How do I reconcile this? Well, I do have to give a plug, by the way. The other day, and you know who you are, we were standing there staring at the transmitter, wishing good things. I think you can. Please, minus 15 volts. Do the same thing that the positive 15 volts is doing, please. That's what you do, okay? So, but I'm telling you, when I got out of town, I was listening to the show in Decatur. So check your map and see where that is. So I just want to tell you thank you for you two technicians out there who just have tweaked the broadcast beautifully. So here we go. We're going to go back to this article. Aside from being unconstitutional, experts on gun violence also point out that the draconian schemes are a bad idea. Studies have repeatedly shown that more guns leads to less crime, and the phenomenon is obvious across America, all over the planet. Just compare Chicago or D.C. to Alaska or Wyoming. And it's per capita, guys, not based on the fact that there's no people there. The mandated reporting requirements for doctors, meanwhile, have come under fire from across this political spectrum. Whether it will be even possible to enforce a bill, however, remains to be seen. Preparations are already being made for mass resistance. Again, I'm going to read not the entire article, but a good chunk of it. And then I'm going to go to connecting some dots about, and yes, on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong, is civil disobedience lawful? Is it a godly thing? Is it a Christian thing? Is it a pagan thing? What is it? Number is 888-248-2046. I've heard from hundreds of people that they're prepared to defy the law, and that number will be magnified by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, when the registration deadline comes, said President Brian Olison, the American Shooter Supply, with American Shooter Supply, among the biggest gun dealers in the state, in an interview with the New York Post. Even government officials admit that forcing New Yorkers to register their guns will be a tough sell, and they are apparently aware that massive noncompliance will be the order of the day. Many of these assault rifle owners aren't going to register. We realize that, a source in the Cuomo administration told the Post, adding that officials expect widespread violations of the new statute. I think I'm going to read one more paragraph. Now, I want to, before I do, it just occurred to me what I should be thinking and what I should be asking. What is the purpose of registration? I would think, this is just me, just my little observation. I would think it would be for the purpose of confiscation. Even as my eyes scan at the bottom of this article now, I see that word, the C word showing up later in this article. But it just hits me that the whole purpose is confiscation, that the government would be confiscating these guns. What is the purpose of having an assault rifle that's semi-automatic or automatic? What is the purpose? It could be hunting. Could be just they enjoy shooting. Boys like noise. I mean, it's just they like that stuff. It could be for self-protection from muggers, people assaulting you. Some people, it's self-protection because you've got wild animals on your property. And some people is they think that eventually they're going to actually have to stand against an army, a trained, professional, well-equipped army, and that they would need a weapon that would stand up to that army. That's what some people think. Here we go. Threats of imprisoning gun owners for up to a year and confiscating their weapons are already being issued by Governor's office, headed by a rabid anti-Second Amendment extremist who suggested before the bill passed that confiscation of all semi-automatic rifles was being considered. If tens or even hundreds of thousands of otherwise law-abiding citizens refuse to comply, however, analysts say New York would either have to start raising taxes and building a lot more prisons, or give up the scheme that experts say will do nothing to reduce violence and that lawmakers say is aimed at eventual confiscation. So here's the question, folks. And again, Tennessee, before it happens to you, you're going to have to make a moral, religious, ethical, practical, there's all kinds of motivators here. What is your decision? Pastor, what should your people do? Obey the ordinances of men. What are the ordinances of men? If you read the Second Amendment, if it says that, and again, whether I like guns or not, it doesn't matter. I have to be responsible to the structure of authority that is will indeed make us free. I'm going to quote Jesus. He said, if you abide in my words, if you live in my words, you are my disciple indeed. In truth, you will certainly be absolutely my disciple if you just spend your time in my word. And you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. So there's this requirement before we make a decision, and if we really want to know what freedom is, we have to really know what the word is. We need to know what the truth is. We need to be able to connect the dots, and then I think we can be objective and do objectively the right thing. And who cares what the different, well, on this end, you know, crime goes down when I have guns. But on this hand, somebody with a gun kills a baby. 20 people killed at a school in Connecticut. 14,000. No, I'm sorry. Was it 4,000? Oh, man. My numbers are. No, it's over 13,000 killed in utero deliberately for money in Connecticut last year. So if you want to weigh the positives and negatives, so how do you think on this thing? Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a case that I was aware of, and I tried to look it up. One case I tried to find that showed up in Chicago, where somebody sued Chicago in a federal court that their gun law, you know, restriction of carrying guns was a violation of the Constitution, and the judge says, you have no standing, please leave the court, we're not even going to bother with this. Because you're not being damaged. It turns out, in manly chivalry, if somebody passes an ordinance that is contrary to the higher law, you have a duty to disobey, and they have a duty to not enforce it against you. And the only way you have to really bring it up in a court is if they're silly enough to try to enforce a, what they would say, a law that is mala prohibita, meaning because they wrote the law, they've said it was bad. And that's what would be a little positive law, a little act of the legislature. But it wasn't necessarily mala in se. That means bad in its very nature. See, killing people, homicide, would be murder, would be mala in se. Writing a traffic kind of violation is mala prohibita. There's nothing really wrong with going 66 versus 65, except somebody has said, we're going to say this is wrong. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to something I'm going to read. Again, our number here is 888-248-2046. This is a commentary I made one time because somebody was heckling me in public, challenging me on something because I was had an appearance of evil. I was obeying a higher law, and it was in conflict with a regulation. And somebody said, well, if he's a Christian, he'd obey the regulation. Not if the regulation is literally wrong, and my conscience before God tells me that I can't do it. I said, in the state, the governor is not king, the court is not the king, and the General Assembly is not the king. In the state, lex rex, law is king. And I went on to say, in reality, God is king. God is the creator and author of law. I went on, as I was explaining to this person, we have formed our government to administer law, God's law, ultimately, to maintain order among each of us who will naturally tend into factions. You know, we have our moods and our swings, and we group together with people who are just as silly as we are, right? And also, so we've to maintain order among us who attend to factions, and you know, we do that to secure our liberties. The end of government is justice, said James Madison in Federalist Paper 51. The end of government, the purpose of government is to protect your life, liberty, and property, but the end is justice. So the means must be just, got to keep that in mind. To administer justice is to promote rights and to vanquish wrong. So that, you know, I was connecting dots for people. To administer justice is to promote rights and vanquish wrongs. In fact, that's what it says in the Bible, that the government was instituted as a minister of God for our good, for the praise of those who do good and the punishment of evildoers. So this is nothing new. The law is to whom I am subject. The law is to whom the magistrate is subject. Under the laws of the state, you and I are obligated to ensure our servant the magistrate is acting in subjection to the governing authority, which is the law. So you and I have an obligation to hold one another accountable to the law. We have an obligation to hold our public servants, the city council, hold them accountable to the law. When we go up to a judge in a court case, if they're saying things wrong or doing wrong, we have a responsibility individually as pastors, as just ordinary people, to hold each and every one of each of us accountable to law. Not yield to the democratic popular passions of the day. Even if the majority would want something, we have a duty before God to stand for that which is right, not for what we think are our rights, but to stand for that which is right. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I call this Preservative Talk Radio on the Copperhead 1240 AM and our affiliated stations. Stay tuned and give us a call, 888-248-2046, and also check us out on the web and our podcast at preservativetalkradio.net.